Blog Talk Radio.
One, two. One, two. Yo, you can hear me? One, two. Turn me up. I've been a threat since Benetton, Gazelles and Valley, the icon and graffiti in the Brooklyn alley. Touch hearts of the pharaohs in the Egypt Valley. My engineer can't see me cause the booth is cloudy. Still rowdy even though we in BMs and Audis. Looking like black Saudis and black Denalis. I'm a terrorist attack when I get on the track. If I'm riding shotgun, I need one in my lap. I adapt any habitat, a BK desert rat. It's war that we sending back bodies and gas. Put up the white flag, homie, it get worse than Iraq. We know the CIA game was the frame of some crack. So each bar's more dope, heroin in my pen. Got a Marvin back, Robin head nodding again. Who you shit on to get on top, can make it pop in the end. Who's a flop and what's hot, got you locked in the gym. Tell Jacob I fit jewels, I could drop him a gem. And if you looking for a diamond, I could hook him with Tim.
I'm hip-hop before Sugar Hill signed a deal. Before Studio 54 popping pills. It was real when Who Hurt worked the wheels of steel. Now we bring the game back into the New York field. I'm hip-hop before Sugar Hill signed a deal. Before Studio 54 popping pills. I'm hip-hop,
since EPMD, you got some chill.
I'm hip-hop,
since Beastie Boy, life is for
ill. I'm Christopher Wallace, from Street Knowledge, apostle of the project. Speaker box with a G-pack stuffed in a G's closet. I'm tenement building cement streets. I'm British walking, I'm stuck marks on your brand new elite. 5% nation, the guard bodies greeting with peace. I'm raw like Kane, my lyrics are form of solid rock. Spitting hotter than 86 on drug-infested block. Last photo of Pac before his beamer got shot. I'm the queen, one man supreme team. Triple beam dream, microphone cream fiend. Top five, dead or alive, I'm so amazing. 2-5 kosher, no sir, heart of this culture. This game ain't over, I'm the truth fool. War reporter, legal life sick you. Against all odds, not the ordinary shit you used to. I'm see murder before the life sentence.
I'm hip-hop before Sugar Hill signed a deal. Before Studio 54 popping pills. It was real when Who Hurt worked the wheels of steel. Now we bring the game back into the New York field. I'm hip-hop.
So yes, I guess suggest the rest your fest. I'm progress, I'm O-D-Y-R-S. Tresh, Naughty Jazz, Jeff Slick, Rick. I'm Doug Fresh, I'm deaf. I'm cannabis before he met Rock Clef. Original, I don't fight. I don't need nobody to ghost write. Gucci rap, strike the mic. Recite the type of hype that you like. I'm Sweetback, I'm Uptown Saturday Night. I'm Black Caesar, I'm Ruby Ray Moore Dolomite. I'm an assassin rapping, I'm Grand Wizard Theodore when he invented scratching. I'm Wu-Tang Killer, be epitome of public enemy. Gambling, hustling like moving trigger. Be bitter, be bombs, diggity, diggity. Dies literally, I'm pun in the middle. With little widdly, didn't do diddly. Didn't he listen to me? I'm all good, I'm hood, I'm Ice Cube. Before he turns off and went Hollywood. I'm poetic from grave diggers. I'm ODB, I'm headquarters, I'm Ted Demi, I'm Boss A. If I ain't better than Big, I'm the closest. I'm Richard Pryor before multiple sclerosis. I'm beef, I'm gold teeth, peace. Mantronic, schizophrenic, symbolic, vampiric, so sonic. I'm greater chronic, melodic, with logic, Islamic. A poverty, profit, economy, robbery, cock it. I probably drop it. It gotta be honest, the opposite of novelty, rocket. I heard you can't cock it. I'm honest, throwing your gun. I'm funky 4+1.
One right here is for the people. Hey, yo, D. Let's go all the way in on this one.
Some of the smartest dummies can't read the language of Egyptian mummies on a flag or a moon, and can't find food for the starving dummies. Pay no mind to the youth, cause it's not like the future depends on it. But still the animals in the zoo, cause the chimpanzee, them a make big money. This is how the media pillages, on TV the picture is. Savages the villages, and the scientists still can't explain the pyramids. Evangelists making a living on the videos of ribs of the little kids. Stereotyping the image of the images, and this is what the image is. You buy a car, keep on stand, all of a sudden you are there, Indiana Jones. And I keep out the gold, and keep out the scrolls, and even the bird bones. Some of the worst paparazzi I've ever seen and I've ever known. With the worst on this place that the world can see, and that's all that will ever show. So the ones in the west will never move east and feel like we'll be at home. Get tricked by the beast, but the way them are gonna flee when the monster is fully grown. Solomon decline it, where them two can defeat, and them coulda never clone. A spiritual DNA that's sent in my soul, and I will forever own, Lord. Are we born knowing all? We growing wiser? Are we just growing tall? Can you read thoughts? Can you read palms? Can you predict the future? Can you see storms coming? The earth was flooded, you went too far, you would fall off. Now the earth is grown, if the shape changed again, everybody would have thought lost. The average man can't prove up most of the things that he chooses to speak of. And still run research and find out the roots of the truth that you seek of. Scholars teach in universities and claim like they're smart and cunning. Tell them find a cure when we sneeze, and that's when their nose starts running. And the rich get fixed up when we get cut. Wanna heal them broken bones in the bush with a wet mud. Can you resign? Can you restart? Can you make peace? Can you fight war? Can you milk cows even though you drive cars? Can you survive against all odds?
Who wrote the Quran? And was it a lightning storm that gave birth to the earth and then dinosaurs were born? Who made up words? Who made up numbers? And what kind of spell is mankind under? Everything on the planet we preserve and can it. Microwave it and try it, no matter what, we'll survive it. What's you? What's man? What's human? Anything along the land we consuming. Eating, deleting, ruin. Trying to get paper. Gotta have land, gotta have acres. So I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers. You superstitious, throw soul over your shoulders, make a wish for the day, cuz like somebody got a doll of me. Sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it. Sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit. A fearless. Don't you try to grab hold of my soul. It's like a military soldier since 7 years old. I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Dang. Savali. Patience. Yeah.
Please, you back once again with First World Order Radio, your host, Dr. Aline Bay. Bringing on my co-hosts. We're going to bring on Brother RL. Are you here, Grand Chief?
Peace and love, Brother Grand Chief.
Peace and love. How you doing tonight, brother?
Doing very well, very well. How's Dr. Aline doing?
It's good.
All right, all
right. I'm doing well, Lot.
All right, brother.
Trying to hang on, get this information out to the people.
All right.
You know, that's what we do. That's
with you.
Specializing.
All right.
Right. So begin right. Bring on Olabala. Brother Olabala, you here?
Yeah, I'm here. Peace.
Wow. Peace, Brother Olabala.
Doc, how you doing?
Peace, Grand Chief.
Peace, boy. All right.
Back again.
All right.
Another one.
Pull on him again. All right.
Well, we're going to definitely try our best. All right. Let's get into the topic. Tonight's topic of discussion is Washita and the indigenous people of the world.
All right.
Of course, when you talk about the word indigenous, you have to look up what it actually means. And beyond the Webster, just, you know, the Webster Dictionary, we have to go beyond that interpretation. We can still use it, but, you know, we need a more international meaning of the word indigenous. We know that the word indigenous applies to being the most ancient or the oldest genealogy or people on the planet, you know. Of course, they come up with another word in which that means indigent, in which that means poor, you know what I'm saying? Or they have given the terminology that means poor, you know. That is not what indigenous stems from. Right? That is their interpretation of it because they're playing word games or terminology. We know that the word indeed, you know what I'm saying, means God or black, you know, meaning people, you know, and then genes, genius means the genes. So it's talking about the genes of God or the genes of the black, of the so-called black people, which i.e. are the Moors, you know. So indigenous means that. They don't have nothing to do with the word indigent, in which that they have translated. Remember, in language, in linguistics, in etymology, in phonetics, we have denotative words or meanings, and we have connotative meanings. So you have to know which one you're dealing with when it comes to that type of information. You know, so when we're dealing with indigenous, you have to understand that we are talking about the genealogy of the original, of the most ancient people on the planet, all right, which is i.e. The said blacks, dark-skinned people, so-called colored people, people of color, the Moors, you know, which is a more proper noun as compared to some of those other adjectives in which that we have utilized, which that have now, like the word Negro, which that has now become, being that before the 1960s, it was still written with a little G, I mean a little N. Then after the 1960s, as we progress past the 1950s and 60s, we began to ask for it to be capitalized. So they capitalized the word Negro to be a proper noun, you know. But yet, these are simply labels, you know. But I will use these in order to get clarity and give you some understanding of when we're talking. You just have to be smart enough, intelligent enough in order to know how to bring sciences together. So, you know, we don't play in that regard, you know, when it comes to this information. Everybody who listens to us, you know, y'all know what we be on. We be killing it. You know what I'm saying? We really be getting at, you know what I'm saying, at this information. Y'all know, for those who been listening to First World Order Radio or Dr. Lean Beck, you know what I'm saying, for years or whatever the case is, you know, we be going in and trying to get it, you know, get some clarity on some matters so that we have to keep arguing about the same stupid shit over and over again, which I, that's normally what I end up doing anyway, you know. You know, we try not to have to end up doing that. We try to be as detailed and bring as much clarity as possible. You know, that's why, you know, we open up the phone lines. Anyone who has any questions, you know, please call. And matter of fact, the number is 626-414-3535. That's 626-414-3535. One more time, that's 626-414-3535. So what that means is that you need to see your call and in. That's real simple. All right. So, as you know, as we stated, the word indigenous actually means Indi, means dark complected. You know what I'm saying? Or said black, reminiscence of black. You know, and then gene or genius means your genealogy or your genetics. So it's talking about your black genes. So the indigenous word is definitely something in which that we can utilize. As a matter of fact, when you go to the Inter-American Definition or Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People, that was drafted September 18th, 1995. Section 1 says Indigenous Peoples, Article 1 definition. This is what the definition is. In this declaration, Indigenous people are those who embody historical continuity with societies which existed prior to the conquest and the settlement of their territories by Europeans. So the European is not Indigenous. Because everywhere he has gone, he has attempted to to conquer and settle, you know what I'm saying? As he did within Africa, with bringing, the Bible and the cross, and then we end up with the damn Bible and the cross, and then he end up with the damn land, you know? Just like you've done throughout, Australia. You go to and ask the Aborigines what the fuck happened. Go and ask Native Americans here, as well as the Moors here. And there's different people, from Peru all throughout South America, on up into Alaska, what happened, what they have come in contact with the individual. You know what I'm saying? So when we get that definition, they're not included in the definition of Indigenous people. And I'm sorry, I didn't write the definition. You got to get at the United Nations. This is the Inter-American Declaration of Rights of Indigenous People. And it goes on. And it says, alternatively, one, as well as people brought involuntarily to the new world who freed themselves, he established a culture from which been torn. So that means even if you say that you just came from Africa 400 years ago, then that's fine. Live it up.
Right.
But understand that he's indigenous because you have the oldest genealogy on the planet coming from out of the interior of Africa. They have found that if you get the hidden history of the human race, or what is known as forbidden archaeology by Michael Creedmoor, we're talking about 2.8 billion years ago in South Africa existed humanoid or people which that was able to smelt metal. And from out of that, we spread it throughout the interior of Africa and then spread it throughout the diaspora, throughout the other continents, as we know that 2.8. We know that the continents were still together. We had Pangaea, or what was known as quote unquote moon. All right, so this means for those who say they're Africans, or for those who claim that they're not African, both of y'all are right, in that regard.
Right.
But we're not recent Africans, majority of us. From just 400 years ago, our genetic lineage here with the Americas stretches far back as 600 million years, based on archaeological digs and finds and relics. Once again, the book Forbidden Archaeology by Michael Creedmoor, The Hidden History of the Human Race, there was a blast in which that took place in Dorchester, Massachusetts, in which that blasted out these particular vases or vessels. Looked like bells, in which that had exquisite carving at the down near the bottom. So that means it was actually not exquisite carving per se. It was also writing system, apparently. And they said that in order to smelt this type of metal, we're talking about 600 million years ago, you had to have had, once again, some high technology. So there's never been a time on this planet that we have not had civilizations that was advanced, more advanced than the civilization which that we're in currently. Okay? Right? There's never been a time for that to not have existed. Now, you get the Indigenous and Tribal Peoples Convention adopted the 27th of June, 1989 from the United Nations. It goes into some of the exact same information about the indigenous. As a matter of fact, this is a definition from the United Nations in which that specifically states the word indigenous means those who have embodied in historical continuity, with the land prior to the settlement of their territories by the Europeans. It says the exact same thing. So the United Nations is clear on who's the invader. And they are clear on who's the indigenous people. Because it also said that even those who came in from Africa 400 years ago, or as it states, you know, because I'm paraphrasing, this is exactly what it states, as well as the peoples brought involuntarily to the new world who freed themselves and reestablished the culture from which they have been torn. So they told you the science of that. For those who want to practice African culture, African belief system, African religion, you definitely can, because that will help you to establish the culture from which that you've been torn. And this is all based on genetics, so you got to understand that genes have an intelligence, an inner voice. All right? Matter of fact, that's what intelligent means. Intelligent. And intel, the word tell is just like someone speaking, or there's a voice. And then it's inside with your genes. So there's a voice inside of your genes in which that becomes activated or awakens, you know, when it is time in order to speak clearly to you, to transmit those currents or messages up into your brain or for your brain to transmit messages down into your cells, into your genealogy, your molecular system. So it goes in that particular manner, you know. So we want to deal with those issues tonight. I want to bring on my co-host for y'all can, you know, start the dialogue, and, you know, then we can get into it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was listening to one sister. She was saying about the word indigenous, and she said she has studied linguistics for years, and mm-hmm. she said that indigenous would come up from the word indigent, you know. So I'm like, wow, you know, but I'm glad you cleared that up for me tonight.
Right, because even the word indigent still talks about your genes. The word gent is just like intelligent. Indigent,
okay.
Intelligent. Indeed, once again, means people, God, or so-called said blacks.
Okay.
Or complected, as in indigo, as in Indian, as in Indus, or Indos. Matter of fact, when Columbus came in, he referred to the people as the Indos people, which was not Indian people, but God's people. So those are the words in which that it translates into. And then the word gent or genius, it refers to your genes. So they're trying to say that you have poor genes. If that's the case, poor would be the equivalent to the word weak genes. The only ones who have recessible weak genes are the Europeans, who have to go around
right.
and conquer, and they have the Napoleon complex, because they're the least amount of people on the planet Earth. They have appeared to be more boastful and talkative and put on a damn front as if they're superior to everyone. But when you outnumber a motherfucker 18-1, you know what I'm saying, the ones who's 18 and to the one, shouldn't even think about the one
right.
to the 18, which that has to do some serious thoughts. And this is the reason why for the processes in which that they have developed, which is Human Genome Project, in order to tamper with the genealogy, use genetically modified organisms to disrupt the genes. To do all of these particular things, the chemtrails, the cloning, you know, everything you can think of, cryogenics, you know, everything for them is based on the reptilian portion of the brain. So they actually have psychological, tendencies towards being a psychopath and a sociopath. Okay?
Right.
And I'm talking about those who have calcified pineal glands. Right? And let me be clear about this. The largest amount of those who have calcified pineal glands are the Europeans. We're talking about 60-80%. But then we're also talking about the 35% of Asians, as well as also the 5-15% of so-called Africans. Truthfully, none of them I want to be around.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not quite human. They're mankind. You know what I'm
right.
And there's a full development in which that must take place. And when we're talking about soul, we're talking about feelings. See, as a child, I didn't have to have a book in order to tell me what was right and what was wrong.
Right.
I was able to feel what was right, what was wrong. I instinctively knew that if I got hurt and if someone did the same thing that I got hurt from doing, I would not want them to get hurt doing what I just did. So instantly, I was able to be empathetic or and sympathetic to a person because doing to others is others that have them to do unto you. So that's a soul. Many of these people, these Council of Pioneer Glands, have not reached that level of soul development. Matter of fact, the pioneer gland being calcified is equivalent to being third eye blind. Meaning, in the yogi traditions, if you get John White's book, The Kundalini, if they raise the Kundalini and the pioneer gland is calcified and they do not decalcify it before doing so, then they can actually spontaneous combust. Meaning, basically, that they burn the internal energy, which is over 6,000 degrees in temperature, will burn them up and leave nothing but their damn ankles.
Yeah, there been a lot of cases of that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Blow right up.
Right, and none of those cases, are simple blacks.
Yeah.
There's a white girl, as you say, pale girl, Albion, who actually wrote a book called Spontaneous Human Combustion. You might be able to get the book from offline. I can't remember her name now, but she stated that all the cases studies in which that she have done, not one Mexican and not one so-called black, you know what I'm saying? In other words, people of color have suffered from this spontaneous combustion. It has always been in European.
Yeah. This is why the study of element is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this is the reason why the yogi masters warned people not to mess with the Kundalini or not to jump into it and, you know, go too far, because you can suffer psychosis, you can suffer spasms, you can suffer nerve damage, you can suffer spontaneous human combustion. And it's not human, it's mankind, so spontaneous mankind combustion. If you cannot handle those particular things, because we're talking about 6,000 degrees reaching up to 2 million degrees. So it's like the surface of the sun, which is 6,000 degrees in temperature. And then as it spreads out, it reaches a temperature of 2 million degrees.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same sun that's within you called the Kundalini, or that personified solar energy. This is why you use your breath to take in the solar or the sun or the star energy, so that you can make it swell up at that 19-degree angle or 19.4, 19.5-degree angle, which is at the base of the spine, known as your bone, which is the sacral bone area. And as it becomes alive and revigorated, it comes through those particular chakra system, and it forms like the caduceus that's on the hospital, symbolizing healing. But if you don't have that activated pineal gland, which is that ball on top, where those serpents can touch. That's why if you notice on the medical symbol, them serpents don't touch that that ball. Well, on the original one, it did. On our symbol, the serpents touched the ball. They touched the pineal gland. They touched, because that's the seat of the soul. In order to produce those wings, which is the wings, which symbolizes enlightenment, which symbolizes infinite consciousness, which is the expansion of the mind. So, these are definitely some of the things that we have to go over. Brother Olabala, I definitely want you to jump into that topic.
Yeah, also, you know, when you look at the lotus flower, it also represents, you know, that awakening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of things that we have to look at. A lot of times people try to get around the word indigenous and use the word native, you know, because it's one thing, it's like, think about it. The Europeans been here, what we would call the Americas, for like, you know, you could say over 400 years, 500 years. Right, so
right.
They would be considered natives because, you know, they've been here over 500 years, but they're not indigenous.
Okay.
Right.
You know, because a lot of times people say, well, we've been here. Yeah, you've been here, but when you got here, someone was already here. So mm-hmm. You may be native. Like somebody may say, I'm native. Someone may say, I'm native New Yorker. I'm a native New Yorker. But you came to New York. You wasn't originally from here. So that separates the word native from indigenous. You can be native to an area, but not necessarily indigenous.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You could have been there for 500 years. Yeah, you've been there for 500 years. But we've been here for millions of years, billions of years.
Right. So what is that compared to millions of years, compared to their 500 years, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing. You know
exactly. You've been here, I mean, exactly. 500 years is pretty long. 500 years is pretty long. But you think about the people that was here for thousands of years, you know, millions of years. So, they'll use the word native, you know, native, but, you know, it's a difference between native and indigenous. That's why that word indigenous is more powerful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a lot of times people say Native Americans. I'd rather you be indigenous than use the word native because, you know, indigenous has more weight because, you know, I've always been here. I just didn't, you know, just come here, you know.
That's why sometimes I use Aborigine, indigenous.
Oh, yeah.
The way the sisters were talking about the word indigenous, they talk like it was negative for us.
Yes, it is based on the way in which they give it, brother. Like I said, it means poor.
Right.
Or as it can't pay, or as you can't pay for something, or you pay a bill, or they say, well, fill up. Indigent form.
Okay.
In other words, you a broke ass nigga.
Oh, okay, that's it. But they are twisted it though. What you trying to say?
Right, exactly. Because indigent don't have nothing to do with being poor. That's just the word that they use in there. Remember, ones have cognitive and you have denotive meaning of words. Denotive meaning means that actually what it means. And I gave you actually what the word indigenous and indigent mean.
Mm-hmm.
However, anyone can come along and say, well, you know, I see it like this. And then that criteria caused everybody start to say and use it the exact same way. So
okay.
Now indigent becomes the definitive meaning of the word poor.
Okay.
But not the original meaning. That's not the denotive meaning of the word.
Okay.
We're talking about etymology now. Right, we're talking about etymology. We're not talking about, you know, just wordplay. We're talking about actual etymology.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Sure. Yeah, usually when you get into etymology, people always say, man, you know, man, what's all the wordplay? Come on, man.
Yeah. the same way the word Moorish and more, you know,
right.
Moorish being an adjective, you know, but I guess a lot of people are conditioned by studying the Circle Seven and the Moorish literature, call themselves Moorish Americans.
Right.
So.
But and, just like the word Irish, the word English, those words, even with the ish, denotes that there's a relationship. Like, for example, the word Moor. When you say Moorish, not only does it mean like a Moor or kind of like a Moor, kind of a Moor, it also means related, you know, to a Moor. By, in other words, national, nation.
Okay.
You know, so we can say Moorish in a sense in which that denotes the original intent, which was talking about nationality. You know what I'm saying? However, when you get to the cognitive meaning, it means nowadays to be like a Moor,
mm-hmm.
or to be kind of a Moor, right? Because the ish means to be like or to be kind of. That's the definition for it now within the Webster Dictionary. However, originally, it was tied to nationality by way of drawing or ish, you know, to be related to nation. So it's to be related to a nation. So Moorish means to be related to a nation. That's actually what it, just like the word Irish, all of those denotes to be related to a landmass or to a particular, political status.
Okay.
Well, that's what nationality is, political status.
So it's all right for me to, like, if I see two sisters on television, is it still all right for me to call them, well, there's two Moorish women?
You can, because that's the word Moorish is being used as a description in that particular sense.
Okay.
So it can be used as a adjective, you know, because
okay.
that nowadays ish on any word, whether it's Moorish, Irish, denote that it's an adjective, is a descriptive word. So yes, those are Moorish sisters. But of
okay.
course, you know, we use the word Moabitish or Moabite.
Okay, right.
Mm-hmm. So if
all
you
right.
don't like, the, you know, you don't want to use the word Moorish because it can't be controversial, and you know, we have some in the community who love controversy.
Right.
Can't explain nothing in detail, but love to have something to say. So,
right about that.
Right.
And he definitely be looking for stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Ain't a little thing.
Exactly. Now, I wanted to talk about this Executive Order 11490 that was on October the 19th, 1969, which actually was called the King Alfred Plan or the Rex 84 Plan, because Ronald Reagan signed it back into office back in, signed it back into, 1984. And this is what it says. It's talking about the so-called minorities. And for those who don't believe that we're from here, well, Rex 84 says it, you know what I'm saying, best. Let me see here. All right, it says minorities throughout the various cities. And they go into the various cities to come out, can galvanize, you know, such as through the South, on up through the East Coast, on across to Detroit and Chicago, and even into California. So basically what they're saying is that we outnumber them in particular rural areas, you know what I'm saying, and urban areas, you know what I'm saying, and basically we got them surrounded. That's basically what this is symbolic to. If you ever read the information, all right? But what it says is that we are bound to this continent by heritage. All right? That we are bound to this continent by heritage, and that there will be no asylum. In other words, we cannot seek asylum anywhere outside but here. And because of that, we will be a formidable opponent. That's what it says, that we will be a formidable opponent because we are bound to this continent. We are bound to this continent by heritage.
So
now,
so all that going back to Africa, we couldn't do that. Oh, well, let's go back to Africa. We're being mistreated here.
Exactly. Right. You see, right. Exactly. You don't have no way in order to lay our head like that. You know what I'm saying? Except for here. So, yeah, if it came down to it, you have to whoop some ass. And that's basically what that was about. You know what I'm saying? That's what that was about. Was the possibility of us giving the ass whooping. Because they were saying that, look, yeah, we're going to have some people, you know, some folks out there fighting, but the vast majority of them are not going to fight. In other words, even the Europeans, the vast majority of the Europeans are not going to fight. They're just going to sit back and like, damn. So they were fighting. This is the whole thing about them trying to create this race war. If they will read their own shit, then they won't even try to do it, because they can never get the people to galvanize to the point of creating a so-called race war or civil war in this country. You know what I'm saying? You have to do something very detrimental nowadays. See, it's not like before. We had a reason to fight because there was slavery. We had abolition, right. Abolitionists, you know, who did not agree with slavery, who wanted slavery over. So, you know, they would go and, we had the slaves, so-called slaves, who had some type of consciousness, some type of awareness, like Nat Turner, Gabriel Prosser, Denmark Vesey, or even John Horse, you know what I'm saying, from the Seminoles. You know, who was so-called black tribe, because the five indigenous tribes, such as civilized tribes, such as the Choctaw, the Chickasaw, Creek, which is Muscogee, the Seminole, and the Cherokee, all of us were related. We all was one family. We all was into a treaty together. If you get the Camp Holmes Treaty, all right, of 1836, the Camp Holmes Treaty, or the Treaty of Camp Holmes, you would see that when we all combined and came together, we was known as the Wichita or Washita Nations.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not spoken of, you know what I'm saying? But it is there. It is in history. Mm-hmm. Right, matter of fact, there's a book that says the history of African Americans in Palm Beach County. Check this out now. It was from the Red Heron magazine, April 26th. May 10th, 1995. It says, if you see Powell, Osceola, again, I wish you to tell him that I intend to send explorers and surveyor parties into every part of the country during the summer, and that I shall send out and take all the Negroes who belong to the white people, and he must not allow the Indian Negroes to mix with them. You hear that? The Indian Negroes.
Yeah.
Tell him I'm sending to Cuba for bloodhounds to trail them, and I intend to hang every one of them who dares not come in. This, you can be assured, is a Negro, not an Indian war. So here they are talking about the Seminoles, okay? Here they are in Florida talking about the Seminoles, and they're describing the Indians as being Negroes. And saying you can be assured is a Negro, not an Indian war. Okay, now, you know, whew. All right, I'm just going to ask you what you think about that.
Well,
this is coming from Major General Thomas Sidney Jessup, commander, U.S. military forces in Florida during the Second Seminole War of 1836.
Well, I was, it reminded me of a movie I was watching. And the movie was made in 1940. The movie was named Virginia City.
Right.
And they had this brother on this wagon. When the movie first came on a wagon, the brother was riding through the Confederate soldiers. And they were saying, hey, Sammo, here comes Sammo, because the brother's name was Sammo. And Sammo handed them his papers. Oh, okay, Sammo, here you go. Yeah, his papers checked all right. All right, Sammo. What you got back there, Sammo? We got a checking wagon. Well, we ain't got to do all that checking. Sammo, you can go ahead. What you got, though? Oh, got me some this and that, you know. And well, where you headed for, too, Sammo? You going home? Yeah, I'm going home. Fix me some, you know, good food here, you know. Let's come calm down. Have a good day. Have a good evening this evening. All right, Sammo, you can go ahead, Sammo. I wish I could enjoy that food with you, Sammo. I know you do. Sammo went on about his business. But the other Moors were slaves. And the Confederate soldiers, get back there. What y'all doing? I told y'all to get back there. Do I have to get a whip to y'all? Put a whip, get back there. He was so mean to them. But Sam and Sammo was cool.
Exactly, right?
You know, I said, he showed him this paper. I said, this was a free national Moor.
That's right.
This was a free, I don't know if you ever saw that movie. But
right,
this
and
was
the same thing we showed him.
More.
Yeah, yeah, the same thing was showing the roots with Alex Haley.
Yeah, the same thing.
For Kuta Kinte, right, here they are looking for Kuta Kinte to cut his damn foot off, but yet you just stopped the little boy and his dad on it, and they had a horse and a wagon, so that means they had money. He was able to, you know, and plus they was able to travel, and he asked them for their papers, and they pulled out their papers, and they continued on looking for, you know what I'm saying, for, I guess you would say for Toby.
Okay.
Now, I just put it something. Right. Just put it that way.
But they put it out there for us. They put, I'm saying,
right.
1940, they were putting it out there then. Doing it like
right.
They're putting it out there, you know they didn't catch it then, and they still didn't catch it in the 1970s.
That's right.
And even Chicken George, when he got free, he came back, and his son was still enslaved, and then he showed his papers.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
And, you know, but his son had to go back. His son was still in slavery, you know. And but he showed his papers, you know, and but his son had to go back. So they showed us
right.
little things here and there, but we just couldn't put things together, you know.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, they were dropping this on the people 1940. I said, man, they were dropping this on people 1940. I said, man, they're trying to tell you,
trying to tell
us something.
Tell the people the name of that movie again.
Virginia City. It was a 1940.
City.
Old Errol Flynn movie. 1940.
Right.
If you ever catch it.
Yeah, but
forget it.
Huh. Yeah, but they were showing, you know, they showed in an Amistad. I mean, think about it. Why would they even take these people to court? For anything, if they were so-called slaves, they should just say, "Hey, man, take them away, and you know, put them to work." They actually held a trial for them Moors.
Sure did.
And Morgan Freeman was one of the attorneys. And he said, think about it. He
That's
was
right.
free. He was an attorney. So I mean, what was up with that? If they were so-called slaves, why would they be tried in the court?
That's
you know,
right.
They just said, take them in the back somewhere. Look, take them away. Get them to work. They had a trial. Held it for them. And Morgan Freeman was one of the attorneys with a European by his side. So what was that all about? Morgan Freeman. They always have him in the movies, too.
And yep. always have him playing the free. They have him playing God. They have him playing... the teacher of Robin Hood, they have him always playing some role in which that he's doing some teaching. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I already just read it. Yeah, I already just read
Bruce this. Almighty Part 1 and Part 2. You know?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. He just recently said that Obama's not the so-called first black president.
No, he's not.
Exactly. Wonder where he got that from.
Yeah.
I wonder what he's been reading, what he's been studying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he played a Moor in Robin Hood, so he knows what time it is.
Oh yeah,
bingo, you get it. Yep, he played a Moor again, free man. Exactly. Yeah,
a lot of people try to beat him down, driving
yeah.
Daisy. I explained to him. I said, no, that's not Morgan Freeman. That's you got to remember he's an actor. You know, he was playing a role.
Yes.
But that was not him. That was I don't know what his character is, but I know what his character isn't.
Yeah.
Right.
But that was not his character.
I've been watching him ever since I was little, you know, on the electric company. So you know, you get to know somebody by that.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw him. I used to see him back then.
Exactly.
Back then, you know. So, I mean, in all actors...
Yeah.
All actors have to do research before they do a role. They don't just do a role. They do research on the role.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he had to do a background on the Moors and know the history to even get in that type of mindset. They
right.
go into a certain mindset, a certain zone when they go into acting. They just don't take a role and just wink it. they do extensive research. If they do a stripper role, they'll go to the strip club and swing on the pole for a while or something, you know. They just don't do the role. They do extensive research. So he knows what time it is.
No doubt. No
exactly.
Doubt.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, John. Yeah. Read this article. It says John M. Goggins says the Florida Historical Quarterly, January 1946, states the Seminole Negroes of Andros Island, Bahamas. Now check this out. Now, says the Indians who came to the Bahamas were black Indians, not white Indians, and they came a long way according to tradition. It was constantly pursued through Florida by slave catchers, but some would stop in one town for 4 to 3 years. However, it was not before long that they heard the footsteps of the slaver getting closer and closer, causing them to flee again. Finally, they arrived at the Cape Florida and felt that the last place as far as can be determined. And so, you know, they ended up fighting, you know what I'm saying? But they also, by 1810 and 1820, it says at Cape Florida, Indians met many workers from the Bahamas. After a short while, a group decided to go to Bahamas. They sailed eastward in the dugout canoes. The largest group was Scipio Bole, landed at Red Bay on the northern end, northwest end of Andros. And in another smaller group landed on Jelsa Cay, north of Andros. Now, this is from coming from the Florida Historical Quarterly. So, you know, they're telling you that the ones who came here, that so so-called Native Americans or the, as we say, the indigenous people, they was the black Indians. That's how they refer to us as, the black Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Not the white Indians. But if you notice, nowadays, the so-called black Indians can't even get recognized by the white Indians.
Mm-hmm.
They're in control of the damn BIA, you know what I'm saying, or the Bureau of Indian Affairs. You know, the white folks are the head. They determine who can get in and who cannot. So you go and look at the Cherokee over the last 20 years have been kicking the so-called black Cherokee out over and over again. But that's because those so-called black Indians need to realize that they're Moors.
Yeah.
The so-called white Indians, they are not the original indigenous people.
No, they're the amalgamated ones from the Spaniards and from the different other ones.
Yeah, they are not.
Whether they're Irish, whether they're English, you know, exactly.
And you look at
Dutch.
The new Diamond Phillips, I heard he's supposed to be a so-called Indian. But you can't tell he's a Moor. I can't really say he's a Moor, you know.
Right. Right.
You know, other so-called Native Americans, they're so, like I say, I can see why they call them white Indians, because they're so, their pigmentation of their skin so close to the Europeans, you know.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But very few of them will admit, huh?
But think about it. This was the 1800s where they had to do that type of thing. If you go and watch the movie Rosewood, you would see even on there when the brother who was a Mason got caught by the Europeans, you know. He said, "Don't eat me, don't eat me." And the cracker said, "Boy, you ain't no Seminole."
I didn't catch that.
They ate
that.
In the movie, they showed you that they would eat niggas. And so the brother who was a Mason, who was a Moor, said, don't eat me. Don't eat me. And so they was making this distinction between the so-called, now he was married to a Seminole, you know what I'm saying, a monster, but he himself wasn't part of the Seminole tribe. In other words, you know, at that time, you know, you had us going as the artificial labels, Negroes, Blacks, and Coloreds, as
right.
we still do today.
Right.
So they was making a distinction that, okay, the Black Indians, who was known as the Seminoles, we don't fuck with them. We don't eat them. But you niggas, we gonna eat your ass.
Shoot. In the movie Lone Ranger, they was eating so-called Indians or Moors.
Yeah.
The guy, in the Lone Ranger, the guy was eating them.
Mm.
Yep.
They put Lone Ranger in a whole different format, didn't they?
Yeah, he was eating.
Oh, yeah. And that's the reason why Johnny Depp played Tonto, because it means stupid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he was acting stupid, too.
Exactly.
Wow.
He was acting stupid, man. If I could, I ain't gonna say that. Oh man, it was ridiculous. You know, he needed a good slap. In other words, what I was saying. He showed a lot of intelligence, but they downplayed it with some stupidity.
Uh-huh.
Right.
You know, he showed a lot of bravery, but they downplayed it with the stupidity. It's like he could do something good, and then something stupid happened and just downplayed it. Oh, man, you know.
Mm.
Right, well.
You almost look intelligent that time.
Right.
See, y'all almost looked intelligent that time, I'm all.
Well, I mean, that's the reason why you put it out. They're still trying to push that, you know, that damn near white, you know, Indian thing. And as we know, you know, only reason why they get even calculated as having some type of Indian within them is based on the consensus in which that they have determined, which is about 1/16, you know what I'm saying, of Indian blood. You know what I'm saying? Now, that's one within 16 damn generations or 16 people, you know, or several generations. You know, and you can come up and, you know, after four damn generations, talking about you still got some Indian blood in you.
You're still talking that foolishness.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like,
you know,
the Avatar movie, they marry into the families. A lot of them marry into the families, you know, like in the movie Avatar, at the end, he married into the family.
Yeah, they I guess they're trying to. No, they just still don't know. I don't know when they're gonna wake up to the fact that we are the Aboriginal indigenous people of this land. People like us, you and I, you, me and Dr. Eileen, you all, Lala Bala, we go to the movies and see these things, and we enjoy them, but not in the same way the rest of the audience or what we should say so-called Blacks enjoy them.
Mm.
Right.
Not in the same way.
I take it personal and I get very offended.
Like I said,
I want to slap Johnny Depp.
I about to say, I know you got offended with that shit.
I wanted to slap Johnny Depp.
I haven't even watched it yet, because I'm like, okay, they still pushing this damn white Indian shit. So that was the first thing. I didn't even watch. Right. I know you did.
I was just talking about it. And it's just more of the trying to, you know, pump that image so people won't have that connection, you know. Why now? Why all of a sudden now you want to make the Lone Ranger? Why now? You could have made any movie. Why that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know. I mean, because you, of course you know what Tano means. So what are you? What are you really trying to say in here?
Right.
You know, I mean, you could have you, and they know what Tonto means. So what are you trying to really say here? What are you trying to? What are you trying to do? You know.
And what is exactly. what's up with this chemo savvy? That term.
And, did they tell you what chemo savvy means up in there? It's supposedly meant good.
I think he did. I think he did, but I just.
Now, I don't know why your good friend would call you stupid, but you know, I mean, I guess you know, I've been in arguments with my homeboys, and I guess we called each other stupid at one point in time, but you know, what I'm saying I didn't make that their name.
Yeah, I mean, but think about it. Is it Tonto in the natives' language? The indigenous person's language?
Was that
Kemosabe? No, Tonto. What language is that?
I believe Pueblo, somewhere around in that area.
Okay.
Of Arizona.
Is the indigenous people's language?
Right, Pueblo. Right, I believe it is.
Now, if that is, why would he... knowing the language, accept that. I mean, this is like you calling someone who speaks Spanish something in Spanish. They understand that,
mm-hmm.
And they would accept that.
Right.
Now
right.
You speak
like
another
me.
Language.
No, that's like you walking around calling a nigga puta. You know what I'm saying in Spanish? Don't know well what that mean, right?
Man, you know, and he just, you calling him a name that's an insult in his own language, and he just accepts that, and he hangs out with
you.
And y'all cool.
There you go. Right, and you call him Kemosabe, good friend.
Yeah, but the Long Ranger, he was real stupid. He really couldn't do, he really wasn't nothing. He was an idiot. He
right.
wasn't no real hero. He was a coward. He was a fool. He wasn't no real hero.
Not really.
He wasn't no real hero. He was a joke.
He wears a mask, a face. No.
That was
the
European Wild Wild West of Zorro. You know what I mean? And yeah, they have a little sidekick. You know, then later on rendition is the Batman and Robin thing. You know, they always got to have a little sidekick. You know, sidekick that always got to be your backup.
Holy shit,
yeah.
Batman!
You know.
The Moor was the one who held it down. See, as much as he may have been portrayed as a fool, he really was really keeping the whole thing together because the Long Ranger was really the joke.
Mm-hmm.
He was really the one that was more intelligent and had more courage.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And was more spiritual.
Mm.
Because
mm-hmm.
it wasn't for him, it wouldn't have been. The Long Ranger wouldn't even been alive.
No,
mm-hmm.
many a day. No, you say
you
his
know?
Life many days, many a day.
You know, so it's just something else.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I notice. A lot of the so-called cowboy western movies, I know the ones that were shown lately, I know a lot of them show a lot of dark so-called Native Americans, but they never really explain to them why they are so dark. But it comes
right.
from them amalgamating among the original Moors of this land.
Exactly.
You know, because I saw a lot of photographs, even in the book, The First World Order, that even my great-great-grandmother, she's Choctaw, they were dark, you know, dark complexion, indigenous Moors, you know. And her name was East Star. And I said, what?
Mm-hmm.
They first told me that? Her name was East Star Doss. East Star, I wonder why did they name her that? says, oh, okay, I know what time it is with that.
E star, E star, you know, F star, a star.
Esther. Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Check this out. In another book, West Palm Beach, Senator Reflections, written by H.J. Robert, M.D., is what he said. He says, my own researches relate to some unique medical aspects of African Americans confirmed that the high frequency of Indian blood. In personal studies, black patients, a significant number knew of their Seminole or Cherokee ancestry. Now, that is from the National Medical Association of 1964. Now, there's another joint that says, it says the Spanish refers to slaves who had joined Native Americans as Maroons, were Maroon. Now, when we went to Mexico, I was doing my wife and I was doing a lot of walking around and we was walking all over the place. We was looking for the Olmecs. You know what I'm saying? We was walking everywhere. Where the Olmecs? We need to find the Olmecs. You know? And when we started saying it, we started running into them. Of course, you know, you had to go to the mall and get them. You know, that's where you're going to find the Olmecs at. They at the mall. Just like we are. So, hey, we don't change no matter where we go, yo. We still the same. So one of the brothers asked me to come in, right? And he was a Masonic brother. And he said, why y'all believe in Jesus? And I said, what you mean? He said, y'all believe in Jesus. Why y'all believe in that? I said, oh, well, Jesus is nothing more than the sun in the sky with the 12 zodiac signs symbolic to the 12 disciples. And he said, you know that? You know that? I said, yeah, I know that. He said, how you know that? I said, because I read it, I study it. I mean, that's my field. I'm a historian, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm a sociologist. You know, those are my field of research and study, you know, in college. And so he said, then why the rest of your people believe that? I said, oh, you talking about deaf, dumb, and blind Negroes? Oh, because they want to.
Yep.
And so I said, how y'all see it? He said, the same way that you just said it, is the sun up in the sky and the 12 zodiac signs. He said, that's Jesus and his 12 disciples. I said, exactly. I said, but even more pertinent than that, I said, the soul is embedded inside of the pineal gland inside your head, and there's 12 pair of cranial nerves that sits in a circle around it. And he jumped back and looked at me some more like, you know that? I was like, yeah. He said, you're on it. He said, you on it. He said, how come your people can't be like you? I said, they could if they only listen.
Yeah.
I said, tell me. I said, what do y'all refer to us here in Mexico? You know, so do y'all call us Negroes or what? I mean, what y'all, you know, how y'all refer to us as a people? And he said, oh, we call y'all Moreno. Moreno.
Wow.
Pay attention. The word is Moreno. Moreno.
Yeah.
This is what Mexicans in Spanish call us. They do not refer to us as Negroes because the Negro is the object.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like my black computer.
Yeah.
is black. That's an object.
Yeah.
And so I use the word Negro in, you know, to an object. That's why when you go to a computer store such as Staples or one of them, and you'll see the word, and you see in Spanish the word Negro when they were talking about a black computer. When they were talking about the description of the computer, they use the word Negro. They don't use the word Moreno. The word Moreno is purposely meant for those of brown complexion. So we are brown complexion. So they refer to us, Mexicans refer to us, those who have knowledge of self refer to us as Moreno.
You know, the movie American Me. But about prison, it was a prison movie.
Yeah, I remember
that.
The Mexican mafia. They said, "Who do you think slipped that man that dope? That Moreno in there." So that's what he meant. That Moreno, he did.
Yep.
Yeah, I said they call us Morenos.
Yeah, they refer to us as Moreno.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's Moors. Yeah, but that should be an adjective. The word Negro should be an adjective too, because if you get some Goya bean and get some black beans,
that's right.
It'll be
what is
Negro something.
Bingo.
Right.
Exactly. It says Negro. So Negro is used to imply an object, as talking about an object, not a human being, not a proper noun. Negro,
yeah.
Even in Spanish, is not a damn proper noun. It's an adjective. It's a description.
Mexicans.
Now, if Mexicans know and understands the difference, then why can't your black ass? Oh, I'm sorry. Why can't your more ass? Okay.
Mexicans constantly telling California, constantly telling us who we are. You know,
right.
But I'm black. I'm African American. So,
Exactly. Well, see, that's why when you go to the word American, it's clear. Olabala, you have your dictionary near you. Read that 1837 what year is that you read that American word from?
It was 1820. I don't have it on me right now.
1828, because I got it. 1828.
Well, read that definition for us. Read that for us, brother. L, if you have it on you there.
Okay,
I don't
have it on me. It's on my bookshelf. I can go to my bookshelf and get it. Right quick for you.
Yeah, go and get it, bro.
Okay, brother, hold up just 1 minute.
We ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere.
That's kind of messed up. You know, and I think they play games with the English. See, because it's one thing when you deal with English, you play a lot of games. But when
I'm back, brothers. I'm back here. Let me see what I highlighted it.
Yeah, when you're dealing with other languages, other dialects, you know, you can really get to the root of things, you know, in different dialects. Because notice in the Spanish, you have different words. So you say, well, Negro, Amarano. But in English, they'll just throw one word at you and have you stuck, you know.
Exactly.
Are you ready for the definition?
Yes, sir. Got it right here.
Hold on before we get to the definition. Let me play this commercial and then come right back and then hit him up with the death.
All right.
Okay, good. All right.
All right now.
On the radio, finally, we are on the air. No doubt. All right.
There's always going to be somebody in the building on First World Order Radio.
We get on into some of that order consciousness tonight.
First World Order Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m.
We're about to talk about what is taking place on the planet.
There's always going to be somebody in the building on First World Order Radio.
And we in the building.
We're going to be doing more shows. Giving out more information on Wednesdays. Wednesday is 8 o'clock. We have now going to make this the hottest day of the week.
Pushing the levels in time hold an importance. Some of them are large, more physical instruments. Every state of human concerns in existence, and they definitely multitude, quantity, or distance. System regulates the brain about specific things that we make on battery and natural current radiates electromagnetistic of sound through the things your thoughts transmit. Pushing the levels in time hold an importance. Some of them are large, more physical instruments. Every state of human concerns in existence, and they definitely multitude, quantity, or distance. System regulates the brain about specific things that we make on battery and natural appearance of radio.
You need to understand how magical this something like this every Wednesday can become. So you need to start getting your calendar right, get your schedule right. You need to know our intention straight out.
All right, so these clues are given throughout the various languages to piece the puzzle of the things and mysteries go back together again.
And what we plan something about philosophies and theories and shit that works. You have activated pyrogen, which have produced this black chemical called melanin. What we did was gave a hard line in the sand between the different definitions of esoteric studies and esoteric studies. Playtime is over.
Playtime is over. No doubt. And be back with you, Brother L. Tell them jokers playtime is over. What you got for them?
All right, now, here we have it here. It says American, pertaining to America. American, a native of America, originally applied to the aboriginals or copper colored races found here by the Europeans. I'll say it again. Found here by the Europeans.
Now, is that not the same definition that we basically read with the UN stating about indigenous people?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, read that one more time for everybody before they can get the connection.
Okay. A native of America originally applied to the aboriginals or copper-colored races found here by the Europeans. But now applied to the descendants of Europeans born in America.
But now applied.
The Native American must always exalt the pride of patriotism.
They did a switcheroo on us.
Yes.
He done included himself into the scenario.
Yes, exactly.
Right, so he included himself as an American, but notice he still cannot include himself as being indigenous.
Mm-hmm.
Or aboriginal.
The American Dictionary of the English Language, Norwester, 1828.
God Almighty. So, all right, so we got that science right there, right?
Oh, yes.
And
we
read for you the United Nations. We read for you the United Nations, where it specifically said that those having historical continuity here in the Americas on their land before the conquest and the settlement of their territories by the Europeans. That was not my definition. That was the United Nations definition.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have the American Webster Dictionary definition for the word American, in which that it originally applied to the aboriginal colored skin, copper natives.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now we can take a penny from many shades. There's so-called 16 shades to black, as they would say within the Nation of Islam and Nation of Gods and Earth. 16 shades to black. That means that we can take a penny, and in the various shades of the penny, we can match you up and see if you are natively from here. That's basically what we're saying. All right, or have that native blood in that sense. We know Abraham Lincoln. You could do your research on Abraham Lincoln. He was a Moor. He was part of the Melungeons, which is another misnomer name that they have given. You know what I'm saying? You know, with the word Melungeon means something dark and dusty and dirty, but yet the word Mel is Greek, in which that means black.
Hmm.
You know, short for melanin.
There we go again.
But yet, when you look up Melungeon, it's something negative. No, so this is why we have to make the difference between the two. All right? And don't get offended, you know, by our usage of terminology or wordage. You know, we're trying to bring everybody where they're at into this information. So, let me see here. There's some more information. It says, the so-called blacks, assisted by the Indians, had become Aryan, and from want of proper knowledge of the country, the parties which I've sent out have always become unsuccessful. They appear to have lost sight of the first grand object, the conquest of Providence. It is doubtful whether the Patriot Army will ever revive again. right? This is because the Indian War. And this is actually coming from General Andrew Jackson, who actually did, during that time period, created what was known as the Trails of Tears, in which that over 10,000 so-called blacks were with the Cherokee, you know what I'm saying, part of the so-called black Indians, who was the Moors, was with them during this time period, who was driven out from the Carolinas in Georgia. Right? Matter of fact, it says the United States gave land grants and trading rights amongst the Seminoles to American citizens. The British responded by training a force of nearly 300 Indians and African Americans. Their position at the mouth of Apalachicola was dubbed the Negro Fort. So it was 300 Indians and African Americans. In other words, these so-called black Indians, and they named, and these were the Seminoles, and they named it the Negro Fort. That was the name of fort. It was Negro Fort.
Wow.
But yet they trained 300 Indians. So guys, so you must understand that they must have been some dark-looking ones. Right? Mm. And they, and see, this is the thing. When they start talking about the mixing and all these different things, understand is that, as Brother L have already broken down, get the book J. Rodge about Sex and Race. Get the book Missing History, Missing Pages of History. Get the book What They Never Told You in History Class by Indu Kemet Kush. Mm-hmm. In all of those books, it tells you that the original inhabitants of America were blacks. All right? So the Moors inhabited the Americas first, North, Central, South, and the adjoining islands, known as Americana or the Caribbeans. We inhabited all of this first for hundreds and thousands of years. So what we're talking about is the various impacts on which that has occurred over the years with us mixing back in with our indigenous selves. Once we mix out, we end up mixing back in. So we mix in with the Spaniards, or we mix in with the so-called lighter Indians, which are the Mongolian Indians who came down from out of the Bering Strait, from out of Siberia, you know what I'm saying, from what they refer to as Russia and, you know, Asia, on around through, coming down into Alaska, coming down into the Americas, you know, into the western portion. You know, we extend with the Mongolians, and that's how we ended up getting the Mongol traits. But the Olmecs, who came to South America, came up into the interior of Mexico, came up into the Mississippi Delta, all the way across into the south, all the way up the eastern seaboard, all the way across to Chicago, Illinois, or Chicago, Illinois, and Detroit, all the way across there, and then all the way in California, you know, all of these so-called people were Moors. It was the same guy who was here, descended from the Olmecs 6,000 years ago, descended from the Folsom 75,000 years ago, and this is all coming from National Geographic magazine. Also, you can get David Chowdhury's book on the lost or the ancient lost worlds of the Americas, something like that. And also The Lost Realms, written by Zachariah Ascension, where he writes on the Olmecs, not just being the Anunnakians, but all and the Anunnakians being the descendants, you know, and the descendants being the Olmecs, you know, which he speaks about in that book. So that ties us back to that Anunnaki and Sumerian legend right there in The Lost Realms. He tells you that that the Olmecs were not just the oldest civilization in the Western Hemisphere, but we was the Olmecs. We were descended from them. Descended from the Anunnakians, I should say. You know what I'm saying? And you know, a lot of people want to talk about the Anunnakians. Well, the Anunnakians, you know, they came down and, you know, in the group of 50 and so forth, and they populated and they made Lulu, which was the, man in his image and after his likeness and blah, 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 and all that good stuff. Well, they tell you, in the book who the Anunnakians were and their descendants, and they were the Olmecs. In other words, the Olmecs are descended from the Dogons from the Mali, out of Mali, who was actually in Egypt 8,000 years ago or 6,000 BC, before Christ, before the Christian time. And it tells you, you know what I'm saying, of that lineage. You're the ones of the high priest of the order of Anu or On. We're the ones who built the pyramids. We're the ones in which that built the mound. So hence the mound builders in which that we now become known as the Washitor. So this is what all of this is actually connected to. All right. Simmons for the removal of the Seminole Negroes preceded that the Indian removed. As early as 1821, the Florida Indian agent said to the Maroon, which are the Negroes, who lived amongst the Indians, that it would be necessary to remove from the Florian this group of lawless freebooters, amongst who runaway Negroes will always find a refuge. Although he admitted that if force were employed, the Indians would always take the Negroes' part. In other words, if they was trying to, they could never get the Indians to betray the Negroes. We need some
good.
We need where the hell is the Seminoles at now? God damn it! Damn, that's what we need.
You gotta put on. You gotta put on a no snitching shirt for people to not snitch.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. Exactly. We got to put on no snitching skirts, you know what I'm saying, all types of shit, you know what I'm saying? It says it was soon recognized that it was impossible to persuade the Indians to rid Florida of the serious nuisance by selling their Negroes because of the Indian serious attachment to them. The bodily removal of Indians themselves was increasingly regarded as the only solution of the Negro problem. And that same Negro problem went all up into the Mohawk Conference, where they was talking about still the Negro problem, but now they was talking about it in the sense of the educational system. You know? So when people look up the Negro problem of the Mohawk Conference, they find the same sentiments. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so there's a serious Negro problem going on. You know, and the Negroes don't know their morals, so that's the problem.
and it's sad, and you know, a lot of them go to Morehouse too.
Right.
Mhm.
And they say, what's Morehouse? Well, that's a black university. Wow. How they miss that?
Morehouse.
Your school is Morehouse University. Mm-hmm. And you said it was a black university. Wow.
Right. No, it's a black university.
Wow. Man, I mean, if you was on a game show, you would have been that close to winning the million, but not close enough. Wow.
Oh, man.
And then they got the colors, you know, on maroon, which is the color of the Fez, and the Morehouse is talking about Alhambra of Spain, because that's the Morehouse or the Red House.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You know, and they got a team called the Maroons, you know, because they got a few teams. And one of the teams is called the Maroons. I mean, like, how many clues are they going to give you?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's sad.
Yes, it is.
That is really sad.
Boy,
out of the body.
Yes, yep. Right in front of their faces.
I mean, man, that's the whole point. They put everything right in our face. They don't hide anything anymore. They put it right in the face. Because we so dumbed down, it's nothing registered. You have, you know, rappers walking around with fezzes. You know, Jay Electronica, he putting the fez on P. Diddy. And, you know, right in the concert. What's that all about? Nobody did any investigation? Like, why this brother's walking around with a fez on?
Yeah, why fez? Why fez?
They didn't do an investigation. Like, why is he walking around with that, you know, even if they don't know what it is? What's that thing on his head, you know?
Why
is he walking around with that thing?
Mexicans constantly call us Morenos. Why?
Yeah.
Anybody ask
why?
Question, why they call us Morenos? Why?
Yeah. Why is that?
Oh, man.
And when he put it on P. Diddy's head, P. Diddy did keep it on that long, and he had respect for it enough to say, man, I'm not going to just throw it down, but, you know, I'm going to really have respect for this thing. Like, you know, he put it down in a way, you know, I don't remember a lot of the footage, but I remember he took it off, like, you know, let me take this thing off, you know, I don't want to just, you know, disrespect this headdress, you know?
Right.
You know, why did nobody say, man, what is that? What do you call that thing?
Oh, that's a Shriner's hat he got on. That's a Shriner's.
Yeah.
Is he a Shriner? Is he?
Yeah. Yeah, what's that all about, you know?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
It's just an investigation. You know?
Mm.
Yeah.
It definitely calls for investigation more. Yes, it does. Yeah. Oh, man. And I mean, if the Mexicans can recognize us as Moors, how come we can't? Why so hard for them to tell us own people that they're Moors?
Well, like I was saying before, in the language, They have different words that mean different things. Where they know clearly that when you use Negro, it is an adjective which describes a thing, and when you translate Negro, it translates as black. Like I said, if you get a can of Goya beans and you get black beans, it's Negro something. I forgot what the word is for beans. But it's Negro something, you know, the Spanish word for bean.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obviously Negro means black, and it's an adjective because it's describing
mm-hmm.
the bean.
A coat or a table, a chair or something. Or a hat.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So, but then you'll say, okay, what is your term for someone who looks like me, they'll say Moreno.
Mm-hmm.
They won't say Negro. So
no.
it's very clear. But see, the other thing is very. When you ask them what does that mean, they'll say black. But to be honest with you, really, it just means more. It really means
right.
more. But they playing with the definition too, because if they say it means more, they're gonna give it up.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll say it means dark, it means this, it means, you know, whatever, dark complexion person. Because they already got a word black, which is Negro. So that has to mean, because you already got a word for black in the language or the dialect. So either that means something else, or a different kind of dark complexion person, you know. But really, it means more. It's just a Spanish word for more.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're not going to tell you that straight up, so they'll say, well, it means dark, it means, you know.
Right, and wish that the closest word in English language or English.
Yeah. You know, just like you, the word more in Morehouse University is M-O-R-E, which is like the French way of spelling it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, you know, just like you have in French, you have for love, amour. You know, so you
mm-hmm.
keep hearing that word all around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. You know, when you think of anything pertaining to the Moors, you know, we were the forerunners, you know. So if you're talking about the Renaissance, you talk about literature, you talk about art, you talking about music, you talking about anything, you know, we was doing it, you know, we was the best lovers, you know, so of course they're going to have a word meaning, you know, that connects with us.
Right.
You know, because we were the best of all, everything that you could think of. So of course, you got to have a word in the dialect that means, that connects with more in there. So, you know, but a lot of times they can't even raise their own children, you know. A lot of us, you know, a lot of the sisters are taking care of their own children. So, you know, they really, a lot of time, are disconnected to even, you know, treating each other a certain way, taking care of their children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we always doing everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, this is some deep information, you know. And you know, I always say, you know, when I really got into learning about, you know, my Moorish heritage, you know, I mean, I approach it from different angles, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I really looked at the history of Ouachita, and I said, man, you know, this is connects more with me, and the way, you know, Brother Aleem came with the
emphasis. Well, sir, they've identified these receptors in the brain that activate specific circuits, and you know how they say that we can only access 20% of our brain?
We did it like that, and now we do it like this.
I remember I was about 14 years old, telling everyone said I had zero. Just wanted to contribute and be the politician to address some issues. I dropped science because everyone else talked violence, but when I began to speak, it got silent. I found my talent, never became a victim to those vile trends. I found a subject to reach the public, a grab the object, a project that could get all out the project. Context that can erase nonsense, proof for the conscious to make the youth conscious, to give them a rhythm that will uplift them. This is their dedication, I pledge allegiance for a better nation. They say that it's a virtue, but we've got hospital patients who don't have a shred of patience.
It's a shame, we did it like that and now we do it like this. It's a shame, we did it like that and now we do it like this.
Believe them when I tell them that real is only what you perceive in this realm. Open your doors of perception as well as your word selection. A pen is mightier than a sword, it's a projection. It's more than just a third dimension. See where my rhyme still stands. Once you open up your pineal gland, whatever matters is a matter. I stay up late to find my material is whatever takes up space forever. I remain a whole righteous teacher. Style changes despite of neither. You can't see it, but you can feel it in the sight of ether. I buy my karma, for that is my armor. And this is my dharma. Everything in the beginning was organic.
common ancestors be classified only 3/5 of a human being. But our minds sharpen as they try to sink their jaws in. The same ones who try to make us fade our dark skin. But all I've got to say, salute and peace to the righteous ones, blessed by the sun.
Right, we back, no doubt. Yeah, we got cut off. They ain't like that shit, but we back. So here we are.
And, okay. All right.
That just
let me know we was doing it.
They knocked me off when I was reading the definition on Aboriginal and Indigenous. Immigrant. Oh, okay. I don't think they like the immigrant part. But anyway, we'll get back to it. Aboriginal. Derived from old Latin word aborigine, which means first and earliest known natural peoples, and pertain to their culture relating to their possessions, their customs, and their land. Aboriginal is an adjective which qualifies a marked and distinctive characteristics, which confirms a connection to and denotes possession of the first natural people. Aboriginal is distinct from and is opposite of immigrant. Now, what is an immigrant? Immigrant is a Latin word. It comes from the immigrantum, which means one who is not a native, or that which immigrates, and more specifically refers to a people who migrate from another place, country, or land to another land, place, or country as a settler. A settler is one who comes to and immigrates to another land with the purpose or intent to establish a colony in the land or place not their own in origin, right? So we know from the definition, the European is not the origin of the Americans.
No.
You know? So we're gonna go into those closing remarks here. So I want definitely y'all can go into the information. We got the closing remarks for those that want to call in. Call 626-414-3535. That's 626-414-3535. Call in now. All right. Brother L, what you think about that?
Well, it's just like I just read in the book here, the 1828, it's their own English dictionary, American Dictionary of the English Language, 1828. So the so-called, I call them title Americans, which are Europeans, they're actually telling you themselves that they are not indigenous or aboriginal of this land. So, like they say, with the proof is in the pudding, well, there you have it. They're telling you on their own selves, you know, that they're not the original Americans. So they can take that the way they want to take it. As far as I hope we did, well, I believe we did some good tonight, as always. And I will advise all the audience to keep on tuning in on the First World Order video show. And you learn a lot of science here, because we're constantly dropping it on you. They can't stop it, because the consciousness is out here. It cannot be stopped now. It's too late. The Aquarian Age. All right.
Yeah. We pretty much proved the fact that, yeah, we are the Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to be ashamed of that particular term, and we can be, confident that, hey, man, we were here, and let's get into doing what we need to do to, put ourselves in a position to benefit from all that we have you know, as far as the rights that we have as the indigenous people. You know, but outside of proclaiming our nationality as Morris American, we are not entitled to that which it rightfully belongs to us.
Mm-hmm, no doubt.
You know, because if you study the Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People, there are some great things being said in that declaration or those rights, which are inalienable rights. And we can really benefit from proclaiming our nationality, you know. Outside of that, all we can do is complain about what's going on and we not being treated right and,
mm-hmm.
you know, oh, woe is me, you know, no justice, no peace, you know.
Yeah.
Walk around with a gun that you're not going to shoot because you're really scared and you're not going to really shoot. So, you know, stop fronting like you're going to shoot. You're not going to shoot. You know,
right.
if you wanted to shoot, you'd already shot already.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we have to figure out different ways of fighting, you know, because they, and majority of the time they're not picking up guns. They're picking up pins. They're picking up pins and they're picking up pieces of paper. So they're using their pins to war. So what is mightier, the sword or the pen? Because most of the time they're picking up pins on us. They're beating us down with pins.
Mm-hmm.
So what's really going on? So I'll say to all the people keep tuning in and go to Facebook, the Facebook group, Morris Divine National Movement. That's our group. Become a member of the Facebook group, participate, and we'll keep you posted on what we're
right.
doing and upcoming events, and tune in to First World Order Radio.
No doubt, and we got a caller, 704-704, you on the line.
Peace to the Moors. Peace, guys.
Peace, God.
What's going on, man? It's Brother D, man. I try to get y'all a ring every week or two, you know. So I listen to the show every week, but sometimes I don't catch you to call in. It was a good show tonight, man. Y'all was building, y'all was going in, man. I be trying to school people on, you know what I'm saying, the Morse heritage and everything, but you know how these people are. But I'm staying focused on what I'm trying to do. I got my little guy here. He about to tell y'all peace, too. Tell the Morse peace, man.
Peace to the Morse, man.
All right. Yeah, my little man, I'm trying to bring him up, man. But that's what I wanted to call y'all. Thanks, man, for the insight, man. It's been a good show tonight, man. Y'all went in.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate
you.
Peace, man.
Peace. All right, Brother Olabalo. I mean, it sounded like we did like we did some things tonight, or what? We did a little something.
Oh, yeah.
Something?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, definitely. And I always look at when they cut us off or I get knocked off, I said, man, we must have been cooking.
Oh yeah. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
So that's how I look at it, you know what I mean? They say, you know, they
uh-huh.
always say, you know, if nobody ain't hating on you, you ain't doing nothing.
That's right.
That's what I be hearing sometimes, you know, so hey, that's all good, you know, I take that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You know? Like Brother L said, you can't stop it anyway. So hey, we gonna keep coming regardless. So hey, you know.
Right. The caution is out here.
You know.
It's out here.
Yeah. No doubt. All right. For those who wanna call in once again, we got 9 more minutes left. We got 626-414-3435. That's 626-414-3535. Give us a call. Ask a question. If you need what? All right, we got area code 202. Area code 202. You're on the line.
Peace. What's good?
Peace, God.
All right. I'm the one. I don't know who controls the emails, but I'm the one looking for a 350 dually.
Right. I got you. All right. No doubt.
Yeah, and that's for everybody. Hit Aleem up. If anybody run across, it's got to be under like 180K. Diesel preferred. But anyways, do y'all have any experience setting up an LLC in however type of way, like without getting, without getting taxed or whatever? Because Seminole.
Right, you have to do it in Delaware or either in Nevada.
Oh, you got to go to Delaware or where?
Right, you have to do it in Delaware or either in Nevada. That's what
you would do
in order to not to be taxed or to be tax exempt. Now, most of the other states in which that you do an LLC in, you have to pay like $200 or more annually just to have the LLC.
Right.
You know, so it has to be done.
And then, of course, could you transfer?
Right. Well, I mean, you can actually do it over the phone. You know what I'm saying? You just simply send your monies in, get the address and your monies in with the documentation with the download from off the Delaware website or either Nevada website, on which that deals with the LLC, which is a limited liability corporation or company. For those who don't know what LLC is, what that means is that you're able to function as an actual corporation, and in those particular areas, you're tax exempt. You know what I'm saying? So you definitely want to check that out. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, Delaware and Nevada. All right.
Yeah, that's hot.
Look into unincorporated associations. You also want to look into unincorporated associations.
Unincorporated
associations. Right.
Unincorporated.
Right. So you take those to the bank to set up a business account, that instantly puts you within the bracket of what is called a non-tax bearer, unbearable interest. I think it's called, you know what I'm saying? So that means the IRS can't just come in and start looking at your assets and start doing an audit on you. It's called a non-bearing interest account. So you want to get a non-bearing interest account. That's what you would get. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
So look into that. So those are the two. LLC, that's if you want to do the corporation. Incorporation, or either you do it with the articles, or either you'll do it with an unincorporated association or organization. So you want to check those two out.
I appreciate it. Peace.
All right. So, Brother Olabala, you back with us?
Yeah, good. Yeah, you got me again. You're getting good, brother. Yeah.
It's all right. It's either going to be you or me. So, Brother L don't never get knocked off. He always on.
For some reason. For whatever reason.
Brother L don't never get cut off. That's why I got to start letting him open up the show sometimes.
Yeah, I better change my voice, sound like Brother L or something.
Right.
Maybe put a little more faith in there or something.
Oh, you got enough faith, man. Right. You got enough faith.
Yeah, but that brother touched on something that I was thinking of, too. You know, he was right on point because, you know, a lot of people want to start corporations. You know, 501c3s and different corporations, and when they're under the jurisdiction, you know, how could you, be free and still be under their jurisdiction? So I'm glad that brother asked that question because I wish we could do a whole show on that.
Well, actually, we can. And the best way to do it right now is, like I said, is the unincorporated organization, the unincorporated non. nonprofit organization in which that you would go to the Secretary of State, pay about $5 for the form. Once you get that, you fill it out. Then you call the IRS and get an EIN number for it. Then you go down to the bank, open up a business account. Then you start putting all your assets and all your property under that particular, you know, business. And you don't function any longer as an individual. You now function as a corporation. Or in this particular case, an unincorporated corporation. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, unincorporated, right.
Unincorporated, right. Association of unincorporated nonprofit organization. Right. So in this case, you're doing it unincorporated. So being that it's unincorporated, that means, once again, you don't have, the government don't have the same ability in order to come at you as they would a corporation. You're somewhat, you have a little bit more leeway.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the way in which that Creflo Dollar and them did this, because when Creflo Dollar, when they went after Creflo Dollar a few years ago, you know, they the IRS couldn't go even, they couldn't even go in his books and look. So I'm thinking that he had to, that they had to transpire that into a trust. So, you know, the next thing is to look into putting together a trust, you know.
Yeah, because I remember when they did. I remember when they did that. They was looking at all of them people's books. You didn't hear too much about it afterwards.
Pretty much like the UCCs, or
no, not necessarily. I can't say they was functioning in that capacity, but I'm thinking it's the way in which that they had their church set up.
Because they probably got 501c3, but then they also have something that's for profit. You know,
right.
You know, like they, like the rich people say, control everything, own nothing.
Right. That's David Rockefeller. So definitely, that's what you want to do. So by putting everything into a trust, after you know, after you get protected, you know, that's exactly what happens. You own, everything, you know what I'm saying, at the same time, but and control it. You don't own, you know, but you control it, put it that way.
Yeah,
because
so they say, you can definitely they said that. Yeah, because they say, well, this is the church's Rolls Royce. Mm-hmm. Church want me to Rolls Royce. Oh, the churches,
exactly.
even in the nation, they said, well, this is belong to the nation. This doesn't belong to me. This belongs to the nation.
Right. Exactly.
So, because it's a corporation, so you know that's how they do it in the secular world as far as protecting their assets is under the corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
You better get with it.
Yeah.
Get with it.
I stay with the UCCs and the executive letters. I stay with those.
Right.
Yeah. That's why
the prophet set up the temples, you know, the way he did it, not the way that you know, things going on, you know, 501c3, because that's under the jurisdiction. But yeah, the way he set it up was perfect.
Right. That's why within some states, when you go and do a church affiliation or a church or a temple, mosque or whatever it is, it's real simple. You know, they have you having to do your research, you know, on those particular things, you know, on trust. In particular, the best trust is like the way that you said Prophet Noble Dr. Ali did it, which was pure trust or an express trust.
Yeah.
Right. That's what it's called, an express trust. You know, so a common law express trust. And that is definitely the way, you know, to go.
Mm-hmm. Dealing with the law of the land.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is the constitutional law.
Right.
Yeah. And like I said, the executive letter is the way to go. The executive letter and the UCCs.
Well, the executive letter is, all that is personal. What that does essentially is to make your straw man civilist more obtuse, which means dead in the eyes of the law. So that means that in the court of law, they shouldn't be able to bring up, you know, Robert Anderson. You know what I'm saying? They can't bring that name up. You know, they have to refer to you as Mustafa Al-Amin L, you know, or whatever the case is. So that's the reason why that's what that does. You know, and it expatriates you from any jurisdiction in which that they have already assumed to have over you, even though you don't have to expatriate, you know, by the way in which that they claim to do it. You know what I'm saying? Because actually, you're not a U.S. citizen to begin with. You're not a 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment was never fully ratified based on the Dred Scott case decision. You are not a U.S. citizen, nor will you ever be. So these are the things in which that we have to understand and recognize. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Right. No, I got it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we get ready to raise up off of here. And matter of fact, any closing remarks before we go, y'all?
Yes. Go ahead.
Ingo.
Yeah, I was saying, which one is the more what are you going to say more powerful, the UCCs or the executive letter?
Right now, any and everything works, brother. I mean, this is the whole thing. Each one is different field. One is common law, which is the executive letter, and the other one is dealing with amorality, which is maritime, which is dealing with commerce. So you use each one respectively. There is not one more powerful than another one, even though they claim that, you know, that the executive trust or the executive estate is, you know what I'm saying, is more powerful. But, you know, there's many things in which that's still going to be worked at. There's no one silver bullet. So it's about us blitzing it and making everything work at the same time. We want everything to work simultaneously. Hold on a second. We'll get the phone line. We got area code 818. Area code 818. You're on the line.
Greetings, brother.
Peace.
I just had a quick question about the trust. Could you go into a little bit more detail on that? I guess I'm basically trying to find out, once you nationalize, you set up I was looking at up some information about incorporated business trust. I got a little confused in a part of it where
You don't want a business trust. Right, you don't want a business trust. You don't want a business trust per se. Unless you want to run your family like a business in that regard, like the Rockefeller Foundation or the Cogni or the Morgan Foundation or Ford Foundation or whatever the case is. You know what I'm saying? If you want to make it into a foundation, then yes, you'll run it in that business way. You have the family in which that, you know, based on, you know, who have, you know, what son or what daughter becomes the head of the company, and that's what their group position is groomed, you know, what they're groomed into. You know, that's where that the Rockefellers and them work. So if you're talking about in that sense, then yes, you need a business. Otherwise, you need a common law express trust. A common law express trust. That's what you need.
Okay.
Okay,
now is that the kind of work? Okay, now is that the kind? I guess I don't want to get confused. I was heard some information on another radio show. And the brother was breaking it down, saying that, you know, you can set up the family trust and the business trust.
Right.
How do you all set it up? Hmm?
Right. That's how you set all of that up. Right. That's what I'm saying. You want to. The family trust can actually become, you know, what we call, you know, part of the business. The business trust can be part of that, you know, part of that family trust. All that can be tied into it. It's the way in which you set it up.
And
everything is based on common law in this regard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess I was looking at the end of it. When you buy land and you buy property, it was a part on there where you could put the property and the land right into the trust so it won't be touched?
Exactly. You got it. That's the whole point.
Okay, now, Now, what you ask, like, is that under the individual, or does that come under the temple under the Moorish Empire? How does that work? Is it the individual, but it's still protected under the Moorish Empire, or what? Or it's just separate, you just on your own? Hmm?
Right, listen, it's based on the name in which that you use. You have to come up with a fictitious business name.
Right.
Okay. Now, let's say you have a Moorish ministry of some sort. Then, yes, everything that you have, your property, your assets, your cars, your land, everything goes under that Moorish trust or that Moorish ministry trust. Okay?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm listening.
Right. Okay. All right. Let me explain it this way. All right. Let me see what the best way I can explain it. A trust is like the Constitution. The Constitution for the United States of America is an express trust. The Articles of Confederation, the Articles of Association, all of that is an express trust. The Declaration of Independence is an express trust. That is a body of people coming together to state what they will stand on, what principles, and how they will how they react, the laws, the government, everything was that they're setting up at that particular time period. All right? So that's what symbolizes an express trust. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Now, you can take that express trust, all right, and form several trusts, several different trusts, just like you said, the family trust. You can form a business trust. And
okay.
Detail each one what you want. Like, for example, if it's a business trust, like I said, you will groom family members to be in a particular position as CEO, president, or chairman, or whatever the case is. And then you will have a board of directors or board of trustees, as it is called. And the board of trustees will act just like a board of a council, you know, just like those who sit on a corporation. They will act in that same capacity in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? In other words, it's like a checks and balances, just like you have the president, who's the CEO of the corporation called the United States, you know what I'm saying? And you have Congress, you know, which does the checks and balances with the Senate and the House of Representatives, you know? And making sure that he don't have too much power. So it's the same thing with a trust. You know, you must have a beneficiary that's part of the trust. General managers that's part of the trust. You must have a board of directors, or which is the board of trustees, which is part of the trust. All right. And you must have a trustee, and you have the trust itself. These are the basic elements of a trust. Once you have all of those things, you can write it up in a common law fashion, which means basically you can take it down to the register of deeds and put it on file, and they'll record it for you, give you a book and page number. And now your properties are protected. Okay, you can also call the IRS and get an EIN number for that trust.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is the way in which that you set up a trust. Once again, you can go to the state building and do an unincorporated association, what is called unincorporated nonprofit organization, and you put that fictitious business name there. Like I said, that's only about $5. You can transform that into a ministry or into a trust. That way, as a ministry, it give you religious protection.
Isn't that like the temple? I mean, isn't that like the Moorish science temple?
It depends on the way in which that you set it up. It don't have to be per se or science temple.
No. I'm not talking about the name of it. I'm talking about this. Come on. Right. Let me give you an example. I was looking over the website you have, and I noticed that you put the business under the Moorish temple science. So I was wondering, what's that all about? I mean, I'm not trying to get in your business like that, but I was just trying to get an understanding of
how
they
know this idea what now?
It looks the way you have it on the website, it's like you put the business underneath the temple as protection.
Right.
I didn't quite understand that. So I was wondering when other people join the
right.
temple.
Right, because we made it non profit.
Oh, you made it non profit.
Right.
Okay.
Made it non-profit.
Like I said,
right.
But if it's a non-profit, that's still
503C?
No.
Unincorporated.
Right. Unincorporated. Oh, okay. Now, how does it work for the work for the dynasty part? Do you know the dynasty part of the trust? I'm kind of confused.
Right.
I'm just trying to put it up in my head. I got a plan in my head. That's
why
I'm asking
you
questions. And
okay.
I'm just trying to
figure out how it all connects. All right. But this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to the laws. We're going to go to the law.
Okay.
So every kind of valuable property, both real and personal, can be assigned at law and may be subject matter of a trust. Okay, so once again, every kind of valuable property, both real and personal, that can be assigned at law may be the subject matter of the trust. And further, check this out. The person who creates the trust may mold it into whatever form he or she pleases.
Okay.
So this is what I'm trying to explain to you. This is, in common law, there is no guidelines. You make it into what you want to make it into. You use fictitious business name.
Okay. Yeah, because I was looking at the economic factor. What's it about now?
Just like Prophet Nobajali did the constitution and bylaws of the temple. He had seven articles. They did those seven articles.
Okay. I guess I was looking at it a little bit differently. I know how you set up the regular businesses, you know, when you incorporate or do the S corporation, that type of thing. But I thought it was making it a little bit more complicated for me is this trust aspect.
No. The difference is that the federal constitution protects trustees as citizens throughout the United States, but corporations, not being citizens, as the word is used in the constitution, does not have privileges and immunities of citizens.
Okay.
So you're talking about a trustee, you're talking about those who are part of the trust, you know what I'm saying? They have immunity and privileges, you know what I'm saying, as being citizens of that particular trust. See, when you put a trust together, you know, that's damn near like you put a state together.
Okay. Am I going a little bit too far there? I mean, this is, you know, when I heard about it, it sounds simple, but I know it's probably more complicated because it was like the family trust, and then it was the business trust, and then it was the dynasty trust where they say the rich families, they do that so that the passes down, whether they're alive or not.
Those are genetic or genealogical or perpetual trusts, right? Just like John D. Rockefeller did. Then you have David Rockefeller, you have Philip Rockefeller, you have all of these Rockefellers who now, you know, who comes, you know, and being part of that trust, you know, is now to establish their power based on the trust and the information that's in the trust. Now, the thing is that you don't even have to put the trust information on with the register of deeds. You don't even have to share that information with them.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? The trust actually is something in which that is private. So you can take the front page and the bottom page and take it to the register of deeds after you get it notarized, that last page, and get it sealed and signed, and then attach it back to the meat of the, you know, trust. But the rest of the trust information does not go on public record because it's private. Okay? So that's the way that you want to set it up. You want to make sure that your trust is private. You don't want your trust to be in the public.
No.
Okay. I'm going to do a little bit more research. I still want to hear your version because you break things down a little bit more. Y'all add a little bit more to it than I need.
Oh, yeah. That's our job.
I appreciate it. Okay, I was surprised you got on that subject right at the end. So I was just looking over some stuff like that earlier, how I want to set things up. You know, everybody got a plan in their mind, but I just want to know when I make all these moves, how it's going to coincide and how I'll be more secure economically, because you all on economics and everything, too. When you leave one nation to another, that means you kind of alleviate other things.
Right. Well, the reason why you use an express trust is basically based on partnership. I'm saying, whereas the law of partnership is the branch of law of principal and agent. You know what I'm saying? While trustee under an express trust are the absolute principals. All right? But accounting to the beneficiary who has no power either as principal or agent in actual administration. So that is
okay.
The key to express trust, which acts as a partnership. The partnership is between the trustee and the beneficiary. The trustee handle all of the actions and affairs of the trust, while the beneficiary just get the benefits from it and don't have to do shit. You know what I'm saying? As far as that is concerned. Because they are the inheritors. They are the heirs. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I got you on that.
Right. So it's like you put together a board of trustees. You have a board of people who does the everyday business, just like a corporation does. But then you have the family of the CEO, they can go and play golf for a damn day.
Okay, but look here. When you say that, though, you know, when you set up the S corporation, you know, talking about that's a little bit different. I'm not talking about something that just go way over my head now. I'm talking about something that's kind of, you know, narrowed it down a little bit. I don't want a CEO or that kind of, you know. I'm more like the S corporation in the...
See, just the thing about the corporations. The corporation presents the highest model for organized capital. However, one is corporations, two is partnership, three is express trust. And that of corporations is the lowest. So the corporation is the lowest, while that of the express trust is the highest or the higher.
So
when we get into express trust, you're talking about the highest form of organization.
Okay.
A corporation
okay.
is the lowest form of organization.
Oh, okay.
And that's
okay.
what we were saying, that you can do it under a family in which that, you know, if you groom your family to that extent, you know what I'm saying? Like some Europeans, they marry only back into money over and over again. You don't get no stragglers running up in there, you know what I'm saying, jumping on their fortune. That's a no-no.
Okay.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So that's the rules. So those are just some of the rules of the game. You keep money tying back in, and that way the trust is always established, and the monies are always there. You know, so these are just some of the little clues that you know you break down. Like for example, an express trust, whether created under a will or deed or settlement. You know what I'm saying? Basically, that's the highest known method of administration.
Okay, so that's best. So I'm on the right track then.
Yes. Yeah, the trust, the express trust is the highest known method of administration. So if you want to administer something and do something, that's the best way to do it.
Okay.
Like, for example, debt incurred under express trust are not the debt of the beneficiaries under the trust, but are of the personal debts of the trustees, who are not agents, but are absolute owners and principals of the trust. So the trustees have to account, and of course, to the beneficiaries. So the beneficiaries, you know what I'm saying, in a sense, have higher authority. But the beneficiaries have no partnership powers.
Okay,
so those are the words that I have to leave you with where you can go into your research so you can get a greater understanding.
Okay, because I'm going to go back
right?
over this tape. Yeah, so I'm going to download this and go back over it again and kind of hook it up so I can get a full picture so I can make some plans. This is something I got in my head.
Yeah.
Like, I want to do this right. Okay. One other thing.
Matter of fact, this, Matter of fact, let me read this United States Supreme Court case law. It says the trust was not a corporation or a joint stock company or partnership, but a trust formed by deed of settlement for the purpose of securing investments. The trustee was the legal owner of the trust property, and the business of the trust was managed by them and the committee created by the deed for the benefit of the certificate holder who announced. Now check this out. It says who were strangers to each other and who entered into no contract between themselves nor with any trustee on behalf of each other and were not therefore partners. Now the reason why they saying that is because when you look at the coming together of the trust, remember we just been saying that normally it happens as a partnership. But when people die off, you know, things change. If there's no rules or whatever is not set into place, then a policy set into place, then anything can go. Anything can happen. So when you do a trust, you have to make sure that you almost account for almost everything in which that could possibly occur so that there's always a guideline or some type of protocol to be followed, especially if you're doing a family or a business trust, especially a business trust. That is necessary if you're going to do a business trust.
Well, one last question.
Okay.
I don't want to hold you up. The notarial title, when you do the nationality.
Right. Now, allodial titles, when you get an allodial title, it has to be outside of the 13 original states or colonies, all right, which is Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, Delaware, Maryland, New York, Connecticut, Maine, but what's the other one? New Hampshire, Vermont. So those are the 13 so-called original colonies.
Okay.
All right. So anywhere outside of those 13 original colonies, you can do an allodial title. So let's say if you live in Florida, you live in Alabama, Texas, Mississippi, on up into Arkansas, Kentucky, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois. If you go into any of those particular states going westward, you can do an allodial title, which is basically doing a land pattern. What you would do is call down to the Bureau of Land Management. And when you call down to the Bureau of Land Management, you will ask them for a certified copy of the land pattern. Once you get it in the mail, I think it's like about $25 when you call down to the State Bureau of Land Management. They'll send it to you. Get it in the mail. If the land has been abandoned, if there's no mortgage company tied to it, if there's no banking system tied to it, then actually you can go in and write up a quiet claim deed or a warranty deed for the property in place, which is an allodial title also, or Homestead Act, all of those, and put the land pattern number on your documentation and take over the land.
Okay.
So you have to go. So I would suggest that you go and look for unclaimed property.
Okay.
You go down to the tax administration or tax assessment office, which is down there near the register of deeds, normally in the courthouse, and get a printout of unclaimed properties. In other words, abandoned property. And you can actually confiscate the abandoned property by writing and by claiming it. It's unclaimed. So that means that you would write a claim to get it. And if no one comes back within 7 years of that claim and can say nothing about it, then that land is yours. Definitely after the 7 years. And as a matter of fact, that even goes for those who do squatting on the land. You know, that's a big thing now, you know what I'm saying, for when you squat on land. So you can also do that. You know, if you was able to squat for 7 years, you can actually write up after the 7 years some type of a legal title or, you know, quiet claim deed or warranty deed or whatever the case is, and write it up and the land is yours, you know, whether it's a house on it or not. So these are the things in which that we definitely have to master, being that this land is ours. We have to get this information back. A good place to check out right now is Detroit. Detroit is goddamn abandoned. Blocks and blocks and blocks of just damn abandoned houses and land.
I know.
And do it. Man, get that. You're to be getting that
they
shit.
They said the ministers, it was telling the ministers all about the property, but the thing I thought about was, how can the ministers and the people buy for the property when, if you're not naturalized, property, I heard you say property can't own property.
You got it. Property can't own property. So, guess what? They will always pay taxes on it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they really don't.
Yeah, because these other people coming in and buying us stuff, so I'm wondering, well, these other people buying all these developers, they come in, and what are these developers? They have allodial titles where they just come in and get that property like that?
In some places, yes.
Some places, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So, yeah, I just didn't get that part. They said buy. I said it didn't make sense to me, because it sounded like if they buy it up, I mean, what good does that do? You still slay, you know, just. I didn't get that.
But the people don't, you know, listen, going by what you had, the information you had been giving out, like I said, it didn't fit. So it's like, why give, if people in high leadership know that, I just feel like we're really being scammed all the way around.
Look, these motherfuckers are bamboozling the people like crazy. They're not teaching them the proper way to do this information. They got religious organizations, but not teaching the people individually how to do religious protected organizations so that they can protect their property and their assets at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the only thing they want is for the people to take all their property and assets and add into their shit, into their religion.
Yeah, that's
they're
what
not going to teach them individually. Right, they don't want to teach them individually. They only want them to know what they know. They want to sit at the helm, and they want to dictate policy, but yet, not doing the people right. They're not teaching the people nationality, not teaching them birthright, lineage, heritage. They're not teaching them, right? They're not teaching them divine creed. They're not teaching them these particular things. They're not teaching them status. You know,
mm-hmm. That's why.
That's
why I so appreciate this show, because, you know, when you come on here, you come with that strong information, and if I hadn't heard it from your show, I would have been thinking like everybody else.
Right.
And these people are 501c3, they licensed ministers, and they tax exempt while the rest of the congregation is paying taxes.
Exactly. That's what they pay taxes at.
Yeah, because they, you know, cause they have like an emergency manager supposed to come in and take over, because they said the city can't manage anything. So I guess he came in with advice telling them to buy up the property. That just didn't make sense to me. You know, as far as a slave owner, we're still in the same boat and still won't own nothing, control nothing.
Exactly. And then they don't tell the people on how to do it. And that's the thing that gets me. And that means that they're taking an oath. And they're taking a sworn oath to secrecy to keep the people deaf, dumb, and blind. But yet at the same time claiming that they enlightening the people and making them not deaf, dumb, and blind. So, I mean, that is the paradox. Great paradox and a great deceit, you know what I'm saying, in which that the devil did also. The devil said, look, the only thing I did was whispering in the ear. The hell, they came on their own.
Yeah, because they offered the allegory, you know, they offered a little scripture where this did that, but if you don't know the deeper meaning of that and how it pertains to yourself, you just lost with the sheep like that, you know, just, I don't know. I hope some more people caught on to that one, because that was just some money to get back into their churches, like you said. Mm-hmm. We're not going to end up owning nothing, and the state going to still take over the city. They've been wanting Detroit for a long time. Comey Young used to keep them out of here.
Exactly.
Comey no harm. Exactly. But it seemed like a big old takeover, and then you're talking about the warship. I mean, this show is really enlightening. I hope a lot of people are listening, because this is just ridiculous.
Well, we need children. I mean, and the fact that we are the original landowners, we need to start putting this information within a you start putting this information, you know what I'm saying, into an allodial title, into a land pattern, into a will.
That seems like the right way to do it. Because you have a lot of people that have, like, auctions. They have auctions in every state. But now that I think about it, everybody's buying houses. You know, they have, 1 year, I remember they had them, like, $500. Not even a little bit, you know, you had to redo them yourself, though. But I noticed that a lot of people were trying to go for that. But based on what you're saying, I mean, what good is it? You're still paying taxes. You still might lose your home. Still under the same
economically coming out of anything. Right. And see, that's the reason why you put it under a ministry. If you put it under a ministry, then guess what? You're tax exempt. You go down to the tax assessment or tax administration and you tell them, look, I'm a ministry. They'll give you a tax exempt paper so that you can fill out so that the following year, after all the taxes are paid off, you no longer will ever have to pay taxes again in your life. And under the ministry now. So now, if you live within, like, the 13 colonies, such as the 13 states that we made mention of, that's the way that you would have to do it there. But outside of the 13 states, you can do a load of your titles and land patterns and actually own the land. And once you put that information down at the Register of Deeds, then they would tell you that your information is now stricken off the books. In other words, it's going back into the private mode now. In other words, not just anybody can walk up in there and get access to your information now. Because now it's going back into the private. As long as you're paying taxes, it's in the public.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, when you do a allodial title, when you do the land pattern, when you do the Home Ed Act, all these different things, you make it private. That's what you're doing. You're making it private. You know? And so you're taking it from out of taxable, from being taxable to being non-taxable, you know, and it's best to do it under a ministry or either some type of organization. Like I said, it has to be a fictitious business name, some type of name in which that alludes to some type of greatness or some type of knowledge or wisdom, I will recommend.
Okay, then be done under the, can all that parties put under the Morris Science Temple?
Yes, it can be done under Morris Science Temple, the Morris Divine National Movement, the Morris Holy Temple of America, of the world. The Canaanite Temple. It can be done under any and all the names in which that Prophet Nabi Jali motivated and moved his organization through the various names from 1913 to 1929. In this case, 1928.
Okay, because he set that up in religious and civic. But it gives you a little bit more freedom.
The civic was the Morris Temple of Science in which that was set up in 1925-26. By 1928, then they set up the Morris Science Temple. But both of them, the civic and the religious, was under the Morris Divine National Movement, or what was known at that time, the Morris National Divine Movement. So national, of course, symbolizes the civics. And, of course, divine symbolizes religion.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to really go over this page. Yeah, okay.
We're going to do a whole show on this information. We're going to do a whole show on it. Matter of fact, we might do it next Monday. We might do next Monday the whole show on this information. It's going to be called Land
Patterns.
It's going to be called Land Patterns and how to be tax exempt or tax immune.
Yeah, I was feeling that we needed to go in that direction. I was feeling that all day. That's why when that person came with that question, it shifted the whole discussion. It shifted it, and that's why she called in, because I was feeling that. Remember when I made that statement? And as soon as the subject shifted.
Normally we get off at 10 o'clock. We're still on hitting 40.
Yeah, it shifted. It shifted, because she came right on. As soon as I said that, I said, we need to do a whole subject on this. But I was feeling this all day, and then when the brother came and asked that question, it shifted it, and then I made that statement, and then that's when you started talking, and then it shifted the whole day. But I was feeling this all day. So when you're doing this subject?
Next Monday. We're going to do it next Monday. We're going to be right,
good.
Good.
Okay. Looking forward.
Good.
How to do taxing.
Good. Yeah, I was feeling that all day. So as soon as you got on it, it shifted, and that's when she came right on, because I was feeling it.
Right. Well, that's why we always go in more depth. If you notice, we always go in more depth than any other station, because the whole thing is that we study this information. We live this. This is how I personally acquired my 3 acres of land that I have right now, my wife and I have. And we were able to do that by being tax exempt or tax immune, you know what I'm saying, and putting it under the fictitious name of a ministry. And then taking all our property and assets, house, land, cars, putting that under, you know what I'm saying, under the ministry. So now if you go to Farm Bureau or to State Farm or to Allstate, you know, they have to pull up, your cars, the house, that's tax exempt. So they can't send you like they do other people, you know, on your block every year, a automobile or a car tax, or every year annually a land or house tax. They can't do that.
We need to know that information, because, you know, everybody has a lot of money. So the little bit of money they do get hold of, you want to invest it wisely and get something that they don't have to be afraid of having to leave in so many years, you know, and things for their children too. No, we need to please do that stuff. Please.
All right, well, we'll go into it Monday. So that we're going to be the topic. Everybody remind ourselves of that. Next Monday, we're going to get into it.
All right.
So, right now. Right. Okay. Any closing remarks before we go, y'all?
Looking forward to the topic next Monday.
So the topic going to be Express Trust?
Express Trust, allodial titles, and tax immunity.
Okay, cool. Because I was feeling that anyway, you know. Because I always be led to go in a certain direction. I was feeling that since all day. So when the brother came in, that's why I commented. Because I felt that that should have been a direction. And when he said it, it shifted. And it went into a whole other show. Yeah. But definitely, I'm with it. Yeah, you know.
Thank you for the information. I'm gonna get off of here. Thank you for the information you have given. I'm gonna go back over some notes I have.
As a matter of fact, we're gonna deal with it for the next two shows. We're gonna do it Friday and Monday. So this coming Friday and also Monday, next Monday, we're gonna deal with it. Keep dealing with it until people come to understand.
Also, we're
going
for a commercial code as well.
We'll go into that information too, because everybody need to know the separation of the various laws based on equity, based on amorality, which is maritime, and based on common law. You have to know those three different areas. The Constitution speaks of all three of those.
Okay.
The Constitution speaks of all three. So you have to know all three particular laws. Which is under natural law. Natural law is the highest law, which is universal law. So we need to know universal and natural law.
So the Constitution speaks on the Uniform Commercial Code as well?
The Uniform Commercial Code is the law in which that runs the world now because of the maritime, in other words, the water law, in which that has been implemented over the last 6,000 years or so since Sumeria and Egypt, dealing with and being the navigators of the seven seas, in particular the Moors. Once that is understood, overstood, understood, that's dealing with commerce, you know.
Okay.
So it's just about knowing the hierarchy of commerce, the hierarchy of these various laws, and we're going to go into it this coming Friday. So I'm not going to get into it right now because I have some things I know I need to do. So I'm getting ready to get up off of here. And we'll come back next Friday, 8 o'clock, and we're going to go more into that information. We're going to be dealing with UCC, Express Trust, allodial title, as well as also tax immunity. In other words, y'all need to listen. Check us out next Friday. It's coming Friday,
this Friday,
8 p.m.
Right.
This Friday. We're going to be doing it out. Come on back to it.
All right.
We head out. We got Rise Up, my man Nate. And Cyclonius.
Peace.
Peace.
God damn it, an entire generation pumping gas, waiting tables, slaves with white collars. Advertising has us chasing cars and clothes, working jobs we hate so we can buy shit we don't need. We're the middle children of history, man. No purpose or place. We had no great war, no great depression. No great war is a spiritual war. No great depression.
Feel it inside, the time is running out. Time waits for no one, and you should know by now. I ain't promised tomorrow, so I won't wait around. They built the new world order up, and we can shut it down. And we the people, we're free and we're equal. But they use illusions to mislead you, and me too. So don't think that I've escaped it yet. There's a couple things I don't like, but I will accept. The question is, what are you willing to sacrifice? Some talk a good game, but are not acting right. And others chat shit when they're fronting on the mic, like they're down for the cause, but ain't ready to fight. And it's a spiritual war going on outside. You better pick a side and be willing to ride. Cause when I say army, rise up, the time is now. If you really wanna
rise up,
be the change you wanna see, blood, and
rise up.
You're against us if you do not
rise up. Rise up, rise up,
the time is now. If you really wanna
rise up,
be the change you wanna see, blood, and
rise up.
You're against us if you do not
rise up. Rise up, rise
yo,
up.
My soul is ancient, some of us cold as the pavement. Adapt to my surroundings, that's the arrangement. Forever flagrant, I rise like weed grown in the basement. Highly intoxicating, without a rating. The walls caving, when they see the path you're paving. We're so amazing, that reality is not a statement. My first eye bust wide open from an early age. Knowledge of self, the first stage. The way we progress, the rest they feel amazed. They love us so much, it transgressed to hate. They're taking so much right now, I can't wait for your peace and equality. Daylight robbery, build like my ancestors who cut stone into pyramids. They all fear the unknown. I rise like the phoenix and fly out the fire and watch Babylon burn the wicked empire.
The time is now if you really wanna
rise up.
Be the change you wanna see, blood, and
rise up.
You're against us if you do not
rise up. Rise up, rise up.
The time is now if you really wanna
rise up.
Be the change you wanna see, blood, and
rise up.
You're against us if you do not
rise up. Rise up, rise up.
Before 87, my view of the world was in question. Fuck a lesson without suggestion to our progression. Hip hop was the first to put knowledge in my head. Listening with a grin, like it rose me from the dead. No wonder they hijacked it, rocked it up and cracked it. Through greed in the mix and flooded it with the whack shit. We're easy to please, everywhere we look is gimmicks. I'd rather rock a frown, smash it down with a gang full of cynics, man, lapping up lies like they're bullshit fiends. Only time you'll see change is busking by a bank machine. While you were running a vote for your pressure release, the backers were sacrificing babies in the name of the beast. Cut the strings, and the puppet master still breathes. The real rulers on billion-dollar yachts out on the seven seas. Run them off the end of the earth with what's behind our eyes. A force never seen, a human race ready to rise.
The time is now if you really wanna
rise up.
Be the change you wanna see, blood, and
rise up.
You're against us if you do not
rise up. Rise up, rise up.
The time is now if you really wanna
rise up.
Be the change you wanna see, blood, and
rise up.
You're against us if you do not
rise up. Rise up, rise up.
I've been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars, but we won't. Slowly learning that fact. Very, very pissed off.
Finally, we are on the air, no doubt.
There's always going to be somebody in the building on First World Order Radio.
We're going into some of the other continents tonight.
First World Order Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Somebody in the building on Florida Radio. First, we need to let you know we're going to be doing more shows, giving out more information. Wednesday is 8 o'clock. Now, we're going to make this the hottest day of the week.
Machine and lovers in time order importance. Some of them are parts, voices, or instruments. Every state of human concerns in existence. And they can pass into quantity or distance. System regulates the ring of specific things that we bring on that day with our gifts and domestics. Current radiates electromagnetic sound through the container to thought strings. Machine and lovers in time order importance. Some of them are parts, voices, or instruments. And it definitely must have two quantity or distance. System regulates the ring of specifics in the movement of having a natural appearance of this ring. I'm the sound through the same.
Love, Dr. Aline.
All right now.
All right.